Well, open your Bible to page 583, if you will. We're in the book of Proverbs. Now, let me say a word or two quickly. Proverbs is one of my two favorite books in the Bible. You say, what's your other? The book of Psalms. In fact, you say, why are they your favorite? Well, I read from the book of Proverbs every day of my life, the chapter of the day. And I read some portions of Psalms every day. Now, I don't have a system for it like I do Proverbs. Easy on Proverbs. If it's the 18th, you read Proverbs 18. Well, I don't go that way in Psalms. But you know, it's an interesting thing about the book of Proverbs and Psalms. The book of Psalms, in a nutshell, teaches you how to get along with God. Now, I need to know that. And in a nutshell, I know this wouldn't make an A-plus in a seminary classroom, but thankfully I'm not there. I'm out in real life. The book of Proverbs teaches you how to get along with people. I need that badly. Aren't there a lot of strange people out there? Have you noticed? Weird type people out there. And aren't we glad we're not one of them? Yeah, well, we probably are more one of them than we realize. Now, here's something about the book of Proverbs, though, that has to be understood. The book of Proverbs is not a book of Bible promises. No, no, no. If a sincere Christian does not understand that, if they actually believe that every proverb is a promise from God, they will do one of two things. They'll either lose their faith or they'll lose their mind. Because the book of Proverbs is not a book of Bible promises. It is a book of biblical principles that, generally speaking, are true, but not 100%. For example, all of us know that verse is train up a child in the way he should go. That's in Proverbs. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and he grows old, he'll not depart thereof. Now, generally speaking, that is a true principle, but it's not 100%. Most all of us know godly parents who've raised children the best they knew how, which is how we all do. None of us, we could all, what? Well, Dottie and I say, well, if we could do it again, I always interrupt her and say, I don't want to do it again. But she likes to play the, if we could do it again deal. Well, yeah, if we could do it again, we'd do it better. But at this point in life, we probably wouldn't be able to do it better. Now, but the fact of the matter is, some of the most godly parents I've ever known, some of them, not the majority of them, but some of them, their kids just didn't turn out that way. But the book's not finished, and pray they'll come back. But by and large, I mean, overwhelmingly so, is I've watched parents raise their kids. Those parents that have raised their kids to know God, love God, and go to church and read their Bible and pray and do those things, those kids, they may kind of get off the track out there somewhere, but they'll get back on the track. You just hope before, while they're off the track, they don't get a bunch of garbage and baggage that's difficult when they get back on the track. But that's an interesting thing. You know, the book of Proverbs, what we have in the book of Proverbs, actually, we have 513 of the most important Proverbs that Solomon wrote. You know, the Bible tells us he wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. Well, out of those 3,000 plus Proverbs, what we have in the book of Proverbs, we just have kind of a condensation of some of those that are so very special that will help us. Now, one of my very favorite is the one we're going to look at today. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. You know this verse. You may not have remembered where it was. You may have. But the verse says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. In other words, as knives are sharpened by other tools of steel, and they are, what that verse is saying is people can be sharpened by people, and they are. And what I want to do today, I'm going to have a lot of fun in what I'm going to do today. And I'll land here in a minute or two, and I hope when I finish what I'm thinking about today and sharing with you, I hope when you leave today, you don't stop thinking about it. And I hope what I'm sharing, you begin to think, hey, I have some iron stories of people and experiences that have sharpened me. We all do. We just don't think about that. But then there's a step beyond that, and that's what we'll leave with today. Now, let me share what I can in the little time I have. I was just thinking yesterday about some people in my life that have been iron in my life. They've sharpened me. Not made me perfect by any means, but they've helped me in so many ways. And experiences. It's not always just people. Sometimes it's experiences. Many times those experiences will involve people. The first one we just had at our church recently, Bill Gaither. I don't know how many of you came to the Gaither concert, but oh, what a concert it was. And I thought this year was one of the very finest. Well, the Gaithers have been here the last 4, 5, 6 years, something like that. And if Jesus tarries and Bill Gaither doesn't die, they'll be back next year. You know, we're just kind of on their stopping pad, and we're glad we are. But be that as it may, in 2017, now they were just here in 2020, but back in 2017, after the Gaither concert that night, Dottie and John and I were in my office kind of getting ready to go home. And Bill Gaither just walked into my office. Now, I'd already spoken to Bill Gaither earlier in the night before the thing and told him how glad we were here and all that kind of stuff. But he came in, he came in to thank us for having him at the church and all that. But then I think John asked him a question about something, and one thing led to another, and He was seemingly that night in no hurry to leave, and so he just kind of got going in some stuff. And then John, let me say that you have to be careful when you're around John, because what he's trying to do, he's trying to get in your brain, but he's very smart, and you won't realize that what he's trying to do. You'll think he's just asking you questions to be kind, but you beware. He's going somewhere with all that. Well, I had no idea what was happening, but he up and asked Bill Gaither this question. Dottie and I just standing. He said to Mr. Gaither, and he said, "Now wait a minute." At that time, he was 82 years of age. He'll be 84 in March. He said, "John said, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Please call me Bill." He said, "When people call me Mr. Gaither, it makes me feel old." I can relate to that. All right. John said, I'd like to ask you something. He said, "You mentioned tonight out in the concert your age." He said, "My question is, how does a person at 82 years of age stay so fresh and so energetic with the lifestyle and travel schedule that you have?" He said, "I just don't get it." And then Bill Gaither said, "Well, you know, over these many years, I've just learned some things that have helped me." And he began to start telling some of those things. And this little gathering went a long time. Well, a couple of days later, John came to me and he said, "You know, after that little visit we had with Bill Gaither the other night," he said, I made a list of things he said, and I wrote them down, and I've called it Life Lessons from Bill Gaither. And he said, "I'd like to give you a copy of them. I think you need to learn them." He didn't say that, but I know him like a book. Well, let me just read you a few of these. Time won't permit me reading. He actually has 16. And be that as it may, I said to John, "You need to send this to Bill Gaither," and he did. And Gaither was very appreciative. But let me just quickly hit a couple. I can't read many. One, find your joy and happiness in Jesus. Two, keep your focus and your conversations on Jesus, not on politics. Oh, that was in 82. It's worse. That was 2 years. At 17, it's worse than that now. Three, be a redemptive person, full of grace. Don't be judgmental of others or in any way hard on them. Now, here's the biggie. If you add something to your plate, you must take something else off your plate. So be wise in what you add to your plate. Don't do too much. Would y'all mind saying amen to that? Amen. Don't we all wish we had learned that? I'm not sure how old Gaither was when he learned that. Here's one, don't insist on being right all the time. Here's another, be a wonderfully moderate person. His dad was like that, and so is he. This means you aren't rigid, stubborn, always insisting on doing things your way. In other words, don't compromise your convictions, but do compromise on everything else. Find the middle ground in situations. And he goes on. It's really good. Now, let me just say this. If any of you would like a copy of this, would you put Lisa Allen's... there it is. If you'd like a copy of this, if you'd just send Lisa Allen an email, it's just L. Allen. You can remember that. LAllen@fpp.org. Leave that up there a moment or two. She'll just email you one. And he has some more really good ones here. Here's one. This is number 15. He still walked 2 miles a day. Many in the room just walked to the kitchen. Well, I'm sorry, you walked to the bathroom last night a couple of times. Okay. It's really some good, you read this, but like I've been looking at this thing ever since 2017. And I've tried to implement some of this because some of these things I was not scoring very highly on. And I thought, now here's a guy. If you ever been to a Gaither concert, he's just like the most happiest person in the room. Well, he seems like that just back in a room back here where nobody. I don't think that's a showmanship thing. I think the guy is a real deal. And so I would have to say this list that John put together, Life Lessons of Bill Gaither, has been a real iron experience in my life. Now, another iron experience I had in my life, I'm wanting to share two more, and time may get me, so I'm going to try to speed this second one up. Another one I had was, I was thinking about it yesterday, iron experiences in my life. It was back in the 80s. One night, it was the last flight out of DFW in Dallas to Atlanta, Georgia. I got on that plane. I was by myself. I was flying back to Atlanta, Georgia to preach a funeral the following day of a person who had been very, very dear to our family. And they had asked me to come back and preach this funeral. And I got on the plane. I was just totally tired. And I sat down on the plane, and I just thought, I just hope who I sit next to is not a talker. I mean, like, as we're leaving out here about 10 o'clock at night in Dallas, and, it's about a two-hour flight, basically. And I thought, man, it's good. And then the hour you lose going the other way. So, it's like leaving at 11 o'clock. It's Georgia time. So I'm going to be very late getting in. But I get on this plane and sit down, and we start taxiing out toward the runway. And I'm kind of buckled in. I thought, now I'm just going to get me a good night's little sleep here on our way down to Atlanta. And we never had even gotten off the runway. And the guy next to me said, my name is Dennis, and I cannot remember his last name. But I remember his first name. And I said, well, my name's Charles Redmond. And I didn't pursue that conversation. Like, I just got back in my sleeping mode, kind of. And then... in just a matter, we're still on the ground. Plane's never even gotten off the ground. He said, I own a company in Atlanta, Georgia. What do you do? I said, well, I'm a minister. I wanted to say, I'm in deep prayer over you if you just leave me alone. he said, oh, you are? I said, yeah. He said, well, where are you a pastor? I said, I am. He said, well, where do you pastor? Well, I told him, First Baptist Church, Sulphur Springs, Texas. And... he said, well, I'm a Baptist. I said, really? Really? And I said, well, now, where do you live in Atlanta, Georgia? He said, I live in Marietta, Georgia. I said, oh, that's interesting. My brother-in-law lives there. I said, where do you go to church? He said, I go to Eastside Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia. I said, well, that's interesting. My brother-in-law goes to that church. He said, well, who is your brother-in-law? I said, well, Wayne Webb. He said, well, I'm his Sunday school teacher. no nap time. But anyway, I thought, well, we kind of settled down, plane gets in the air, and I thought, well, we're going to be okay now. And then he never told me what kind of company he owned. He said, let me ask you a question. How do you keep up with what you do? I said, well, now, what do you mean by that? He said, well, like what kind of time management system? He said, you preachers. He said, I watch you guys. He said, you guys keep notes in this pocket, this pocket. He said, you're like an old lawyer. You just got stuff all over. He said, how do you keep up with what you do when you need something? I mean, how do you manage that kind of stuff? I said, well, I've got a little notepad by the phone in my bedroom. I told him everything I did. He said, listen. He said, this company I own teaches time management. And we teach to like AT&T. He began to name companies and all. He said, how long are you going to be in Atlanta? I said, well, my family's coming down for the weekend. I'm staying the rest of the week. And so I'm going to be here until Saturday afternoon. I'm going back to Texas. He said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, if you and your wife would like to come to the seminar Friday, here's my card. It'll be free. And you can come. He said, now, it will be geared to non-ministers, but you can take what we teach and apply. It won't cost you a dime. Well, I thought, you know, I need to do, let me just say this, and I have to hurry. That Friday, it was a half-day conference, was the most totally revolutionary thing I ever went to on time management. It just changed everything about how I manage my time, how I keep up with stuff, how I know where stuff is. And over the years, I've tried to teach it to staff. Then I've learned most of them don't want to know. So they want to flounder around like that. But I'm just saying, I look back on that. Dennis was Wayne's Sunday school teacher, and Dennis now too. Wayne's gone to be the Lord. And then Dennis says, well, I can do it. I want to share one other, and I'll just have to do it in a hurry. But I was thinking about iron experiences I've had in my life. I think I've shared this before, but some of you weren't here, and most of you wouldn't remember it anyway. I know how it is with these things. It was in Hopkins County, Texas. I'll never forget this. And one day, I had a phone call from a good member of our church who said, listen, Pastor, said tomorrow, Paul Harvey, y'all remember Paul Harvey? Said he recognizes people that had been married like 70 years and 80 years on his radio program. And he said tomorrow, he's going to recognize Philip and Edith Smith. They have been married, and I don't remember now whether it was 70 or it was way up there. And he said, we're having a little party out there for them. Philip and Edith were just wonderful people. They lived out of the city limits, kind of on a farm out there, just good people. He said, is there any way you could come and just be there? We even know what time Paul Harvey's going to say it, and it would just mean so much. We're going to take a little cake out there and have a prayer. I said, well, absolutely, because I love Philip Meadeth. Well, I went, and sure enough, Paul Harvey recognized them, and of course, it blessed them, and we had the little cake and a little prayer and all, and then people began to leave, and I said, Philip, I said, by the way, he didn't want to be called Mr. Smith. He wanted to be called Philip. And I was just always raised, you people much older than you didn't call them by the first name. But some people insist on that. I said, Philip, nobody was around, which I said, tell me something. I said, you know, how does a guy stay married to a woman this long? He said, well, you just have to know three things. I said, well, what are they? He said, well, number one, you need to marry the right person. I thought, well, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Of course, the problem that is you don't know what you got till you got it. But anyway. Number two, I never would have guessed number two having anything to do with marriage. But once he said it, and I thought about it, he's right. He said, have a job you love doing. He said, you know, I'm a farmer. I love what I do. He said, if a man's unhappy at work, he'll be unhappy at home. There's a lot of truth to that. I said, Philip, what's number three? He said, number three is most important of all. That's why I've saved it to number three. He said, number three, it's in the Bible. You're a preacher. It looks to me like you'd know it. I said, well, what is it? What is it? He said, don't throw wood on the fire. I said, Philip, where is that in the Bible? And he reached over and picked up their old Bible, turned to Proverbs 17:17, and he said, here it is, preacher. It's Proverbs 17, verse 14. It says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. He said, now, you preacher boys, You never will explain it as good as I figured it out. He said, what that verse says is, don't throw logs on the fire. Do y'all understand what Mr. Smith was saying? Boy, have I pitched some kindling on the fire over these years. What about you? But he's right. Well, these are just some experience. These are some irons that I've had in my life. Quickly, and I have a minute to do it. Listen, you have endless irons in your life. But here's where I want us to land today. I was thinking about all this yesterday. I thought about so many more, and I just thought I won't have time for more today. Maybe another time. But here's the bottom line. I pray God will help all of us be an iron to other people. Could I have an amen to that? Father, my mind went way back yonder yesterday as I was thinking about, well, 2017 is not way back yonder, but the 80s is, and Dennis on that airplane, and then Philip Edith out in Hopkins County. He's so right, don't throw logs on the fire. God, that is not true just in marriage, that's true in all relationships. And in this political climate we are now, God, help us. Bill Gaither talked about it. It's a pretty smart thing to be careful about throwing logs on that fire. But God, the big prayer in my heart is for myself and, Lord, for all here today, may we, and we are, I'm sure, all of us have been iron to others. Help us be more so to more people is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.